Serotair's Daily Reading, Episode 820, July 8, 2026. Let's kick things off with a piece from Charity on a topic that's been quietly dividing engineering teams, AI mandates. Her post is called In Defense of AI Mandates, and it's a short but passionate argument that mandates aren't just top-down diktats, they're actually a funding mechanism. Her point is that when you tell people to adopt AI tools but don't give them time or cover to actually learn those tools, you've done nothing but larder on more pressure. But a mandate, she argues, is a way of signaling that the organization accepts the trade-offs, that some work will slip, and that's expected, and that everyone is going through this together. Without that explicit funding, you're just telling people to build skills on their own time, which is basically telling them this isn't actually a priority. It's a useful reframe, especially for anyone who's been on the receiving end of vague AI adoption, edicts, without any actual support. Moving on, Ricardo Palladius has posted part two of his piece on orchestrating with anti-gravity, and it's a delightful deep dive. He's a CLI guy at heart, but trying to manage multiple parallel sub-agents from a terminal became what he calls cognitive overload. So he built a system using Git worktrees to isolate agent workspaces, something called Conductor for orchestration, and a visual UI harness called Antigravity. The fun part is, he gave his coordinator agent a personality, naming her Agostina after the Italian word for August, and she acts like a calm concierge who manages sub-agents named Mario and Luigi. There's also an amanuense agent that logs everything with timestamps for historical record. The key insight here is that Git worktrees solve the problem of two agents simultaneously modifying the same branch, and the shared state lives in a wiki memory directory that persists across runs. He even built something called Condutree, a reusable skill that packages up all this Git hygiene, worktree isolation, and a human-in-the-loop question protocol for any codebase. The real-world test was a 12-track SRE simulation with 20-plus GitHub issues, and Agostina got it all done in 5 hours. On a completely different note, Brian Grant has a sharp piece on configuration as code being a liability for security. His argument is that when your configuration lives in Helm charts, customize overlays, or CDK8s programs, you can't actually query it. Those are programs that render manifests on the fly, so there's no single store of all your namespaces and network policies across every cluster. He contrasts this with what he calls configuration as data, which is fully materialized, YAML sitting in a database, versioned and queryable. On top of that data model, you can build tools that read and fix security policy across your entire fleet in one command. For example, his network policy tool can answer who can reach a given service by computing effective reachability across all the policies in a namespace, which is something you absolutely cannot do against A. Directory of Helm Templates. His tool writes the fix as a versioned configuration change, not a kubectl edit that drifts the moment it lands. It's a compelling case that your configuration should be data first, not code. Google just released TypeScript 7, and it is a big deal. They rewrote the entire compiler in Go, and the result is a native port that runs somewhere between 8 and 12 times faster on full builds. The numbers are wild. VS Code went from over 2 minutes to build down to under 11 seconds. Slack engineers report that type checking time in CI dropped from 7.5 minutes to just over a minute, and local editor responsiveness improved so dramatically that one team at Microsoft described it as life-saving. The new TypeScript also parallelizes parsing, type checking, and emitting across multiple workers by default, though you can tune the number of checkers and builders for your machine. There's also a brand new watch mode backed by a Go port of the parcel file watcher, which was a real engineering challenge to pull off. This is one of those releases that changes how it feels to work in a code base day to day. There's a thought-provoking piece from Marty Kagan on great products, bad companies. His point is that great products, while necessary for great companies, are not sufficient. In fact, they can be dangerous. A company that ships great products becomes an attractive target for people with very different motivations, people who infiltrate boards and leadership teams, replace founders, and destroy cultures in pursuit of a quick financial win. He's been watching this happen in the industry for years, and it clearly frustrates him. He's now recommending a book called Incorruptible that explores alternative governance structures designed to protect companies from these kinds of predators, including structures he's calling mission locked. It's a sobering read for anyone who cares about product as a craft. Finally, Google Research published a study in Nature Cities on the power of collaboration in reducing traffic congestion. The core idea is surprisingly simple. If you coordinate even a small fraction of trips to disperse traffic instead of all funneling down the same roads, you can measurably improve driving speeds and reduce emissions for an entire city. They ran real-world experiments with navigation platform interventions, showing that system-wide routing coordination is possible and has tangible benefits. It's the kind of insight that sounds obvious in hindsight, but actually requires careful empirical validation. It also feels like a preview of how autonomous vehicle networks and smart city infrastructure might reshape urban mobility. That is episode 820. Tomorrow, we cover the news, and we'll see you then.